the FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Welcome along to the FWA podcast for another week. Every week, William Hill and the FWA put together some of the best football writers in the business, and we talk about the big burning issues in the week's football. Delighted to say that it's the Executive Secretary of the Football Writers Association with us today. Paul McCarthy's taking some time out to have a chat. On your way up to Merseyside, I think, Paul, for the big derby weekend. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm very well, Lee. Yeah, just looking forward to the Mersey Derby. I think it's the, it's stupid to say it's the most eagerly anticipated, but you know, both Liverpool and Everton really need to kickstart their seasons, don't they? I mean, Brendan Rodgers and Roberto Martinez, after you know sensational starts last season and really really good seasons, the Liverpool's especially, they found second season syndrome. A little bit tougher post Suarez in Liverpool's case, and I guess with Everton, you know, just finding it difficult to maintain their kind of form that they had last season.
Yeah, the Capital One Cup's always entertaining, and none more so than this week. We had that amazing penalty shootout involving Liverpool, and some other really interesting ties as well. We won't spend too much time on this, but what's your view on the way that teams are treating the competition these days?
I think it's utterly ludicrous that a team like Crystal Palace will completely change their team. To weaken their team, really. And the bottom line is, you know, if you're a Crystal Palace fan, you probably haven't got a lot to look forward to this season. You've obviously had, even before the ball was kicked, you had the disappointment of losing Tony Pulis, who did such a remarkable job at Selhurst Park last season. And what do you want to do? Do you want to just give up in sort of the middle of September and say, right, well, everything this season is just about avoiding relegation? There's got to be some kind of highlight along the way for Palace fans. And I have to say, this is nothing against Crystal Palace. A lot of time covering Crystal Palace as a sort of, you know, young reporter. And I think the fans are superb. And that's why they deserve more than just, okay, well, we're just resigned ourselves to a battle against relegation this season.
Yeah, I think it's probably more to do with Neil Warnock. I think ever since his spell at Sheffield United, when they went on a great cup run, and it maybe cost them promotion to the Premier League that season, every club he's been at, he's weakened down. I mean, and the strange thing is, what I was going to come on to say, Paul, is that when you look back at the last 5 years or so, this isn't now the dominated competition, dominated by... I mean, you look at Sunderland last year, Swansea and Bradford the season before in the final, Cardiff played Liverpool, Birmingham played Arsenal, Manchester United, Aston Villa... before that, it was Man United, Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, Chelsea, etc. But there is now it's a clear path through, and maybe it's what happens to teams like Sunderland who find it hard to cope, or Birmingham who found it hard to cope after being in the final, is a bit of a lesson. But it's a shame, isn't it? But hey ho,
it is a shame because if you're Crystal Palace, you know realistically you don't stand a chance of winning the league. You probably don't stand a chance of qualifying for the Champions League or Europe in any way, shape or form. Mm. So why not give it the gun? Why not go for it? I think the beauty of the League Cup is that it's played so early in the season. So it's not like you're getting into the tail end of the season and you're getting clogged up with fixtures. I think the final's in February, isn't it? So, you know, bottom line, why, you know, if you get to the final, you've still got between February and May to get yourself out of trouble. So it doesn't say much for your hopes and aspirations of the likes of Neil Warnock if they think that, a cup competition that's over in February could jeopardise their Premier League status.
Yeah, I suppose the flip side of that, I guess, is it a team like Southampton who, you know, I think when you look back at Ronald Koeman's career, he's won cups in most of the countries he's managed in, and he obviously sees it as a, you know, while they're doing well, a good way to maintain the form. Before we get on to a massive Premier League weekend, Paul, I just wanted to ask you about the art of defending.
Or the lack of.
Do you remember when defending was a thing? I was looking at you have an over and unders table that you can get on most websites. Obviously, it's quite handy for betting purposes when people love to bet on whether there'll be goals in a game or not. And you look at it, and 15 out of the 20 teams in the Premier League averaged 2.5 goals or more this season, and that's just an average, obviously. I mean, you're looking at Everton's games, five games gone, average of 4.8 goals per game. Chelsea 4.6, Crystal Palace 3.6, 3.4 for Man United and Leicester, and so it goes on, and it obviously trickles down. You've got Burnley, who we know have had 3-0 draws, who are averaging a goal a game. But I mean, it's, you know, a lot of teams there averaging a high number of goals effectively. It's a bit like the group stages of the World Cup, where we all absolutely loved it. And to be fair, it's great fun watching it now.
Yeah, it is. It's as open and attacking. Listen, if you're a Manchester United fan, you would think that you score three goals away from home, you stand a damn good chance of getting 3 points. But you know, the defence, the Manchester United defence, is obviously what everybody's talking about. But you know, even Chelsea, you know, renowned under Mourinho for their sort of Scrooge-like tendencies, you know, they've conceded goals. You know, you look at them at Everton, and they conceded goals. Arsenal, you know, can be wide open at the back. I think it's a little bit of an anomaly, and it will. And like you say, the group stages of the World Cup suddenly were cancelled out by much tighter defending once you got into the knockout stages. And I think, you know, at times there have been some fantastic defensive performances. You know, Chelsea versus Manchester City, or Manchester City versus Chelsea last weekend. You know, there was some fantastic defending. You know, Kumpali and Mangala and Terry and Cahill. You know, basically they marshalled their defences superbly, and there was a good protective screen in front of them. I do think it's a little bit wide open at the moment. I think that will even itself out. But while Manchester United and Louis van Gaal is putting out a defence as porous as the one that we saw at the King Power Stadium last weekend, I think it will be. I think that overs and unders table will be definitely worth watching.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, especially from a punter's point of view. We made reference to this weekend. It's a cracker. We've got, as we've already mentioned on the podcast, the big Merseyside derby. Of course, it's a North London derby as well this weekend. So it's a cracking Saturday of action. Plus, Man United are playing. Chelsea are playing on the Saturday. So there's some big games this weekend. We've made brief mention to the Merseyside derby. Liverpool are the favourites here, 4-5. The draw's 11-4, and Everton are 16-5. Amazing statistic that probably most people know by now, or it'll be in most of the papers and on most of the TV shows, that Everton haven't won at Anfield in the league since 1999. It's a long old time, that, Paul, isn't it? I mean, it's funny because different managers, different players have come and gone, but still, they find it very difficult to win there. It's amazing how these psychological effects, if they are that, and Roberto Martinez has made mention of it being a psychological thing, managed to carry on through different eras, even.
Absolutely. There is it would appear that, you know, there is a, you know, 15 years is a long old time not to have won a Merseyside derby at Anfield for Everton. And I don't see them doing it this weekend, I'm afraid, for Everton fans. There just seems to be something missing within the Everton setup now. Maybe that's playing in Europe and I have to say, tip my hat to Roberto Martinez. He is taking the Europa League very, very seriously, playing his best team, because he knows it's probably their best way of getting into the Champions League, because the winners of the Europa League go automatically into the Champions League next season. So yeah, I think it's understandable. I still think that, you know, there isn't the great depth to the Everton squad that Martinez would like. I think there are problems. I just think psychologically they hit some great heights last season, and I do think it comes back to sometimes it is that second season syndrome. How do you take it on? I think, you know, they're not in any danger in the league despite a stuttering start. And they've got talent, and they can score goals. Lukaku has shown that already this season. But bottom line, they need to snap into gear. You just feel that they've been dawdling a bit at the start of the season for whatever reason. I mean, Martinez is a little bit worried about the defence as well. I think it's been problematic for them. But I honestly don't see them beating Liverpool, especially if Liverpool have Daniel Sturridge fit for the game on Saturday. They've been pushing him all week to try and get him fit. I don't think he'll be 100% match fit, but I do think Liverpool need a little bit of spark. Brendan Rodgers this week has been talking about how it's been difficult for them. It's still like a broken team without the likes of Luis Suarez around. So I think they will get exactly the tonic they need at Anfield tomorrow, and I can't see anything but a Liverpool win tomorrow.
No, and you know, as well as that home stat, they've only lost one of the last 15 Merseyside derbies in the Premier League. Amazing stats. Goals galore as
even
well.
Even when Everton were on a roll, when you really felt that Everton were flying, there still seems to be something about the Mersey derby that inhibits them and lifts Liverpool.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? I'd probably expect goals as well. We mentioned Everton's average goals per game this season, and of course it was 4-0 at Anfield last season, 3-3 at Goodison, and lots of first half goals if you're looking for a little bet on the first half.
Everybody talks about, you know, derbies are always tight. I remember going to, you know, when I was out on the road covering matches, you know, always anticipating lots of goals in a Mersey derby, because there never seemed to be too many nil-nils.
No, there doesn't seem to be any at all. And also another little stat before we go on to the North London derby: most red cards in any match in the Premier League history in this one. So don't be surprised if it's feisty as usual. The North London derby takes over then at 5:30. 4-5 Arsenal, 5-2 the draw, 7-2 Tottenham. So not dissimilar odds to the Liverpool Everton game. Is that fair, do you think, Paul? Because I mean, both these teams have got problems. You would say Arsenal still lacking that leader and that really solid midfield, but then Tottenham seem to wither when it comes to playing the big boys, don't they?
Yeah, I think I look at Arsenal and it's the same. Jamie Carragher wrote a column in the Daily Mail last week about how, you know, there's always the same excuse for Arsenal, because Arsene Wenger isn't under the same kind of pressure and fear for his job that, say, the likes of, I would guess, Jose Mourinho or even Manuel Pellegrini are. You know, they won the FA Cup last season, and everything seemed to be, you know, oh, hunky-dory at the Emirates, and, you know, oh, it's wonderful, we'll start of a new era. Well, you look at it, and I have to say, they are populated by exactly the same player throughout the team, and it's a colleague of mine at the News of the World when we were there, Andy Dunn, dubbed Arsenal the trinket team, because you look at all their players, and they are all exactly the same. They're small, they're tricky, they're nice passers. But then where is there a Petit figure or a Vieira figure, somebody like that, who actually leads from midfield? Is it Mikel Arteta? I don't think so. I mean, he's not what you would call a midfield enforcer. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who goes around kicking people up in the air, but somebody with a bit of stature. A kind of Yaya Toure figure, who I guess is, you know, in a direct line down from Petit and Vieira. And they haven't got one. And until they find one, or until Arsene Wenger changes the habits, not the habits of a lifetime, because he was the manager who introduced that kind of player into English football with Petit and Vieira. But until he goes back to what, you know, served him best, I think Arsenal will struggle. I think whereas we say there's not too often a draw in the Mersey derby, I think this one will be a draw, because I think, you know, Tottenham still have something about them. I think Pochettino would say straight away that this is still very much a work in progress at White Hart Lane for the Spurs team. But I like the look of Spurs. They need to, like Everton, kick into gear. But I like the look of Spurs. There seems to be a bit more of a solidity about them than there was last season.
Yeah, it's a very fair point. Again, goals are expected. Interestingly, you might hear this on Match of the Day if it happens. If four goals are scored in this game, or more, of course, then it will become the outright highest scoring fixture in Premier League history. Currently, 126. So it'll take it to the 130 barrier. And I think this is amazing as well.
Is it my memory playing tricks on me? Wasn't there a 4-all a few years ago?
Yeah, there was, wasn't there? Yeah, there was. There were a couple of 5-2s, weren't there? That was, I think that was a couple of seasons ago. There was a 4-all, I think it was That was a few years ago, but there have been 4-1s, 3-2s, 3-1s. Yeah. Usually. And Arsenal, again, this is some of these stats you get from Opta are absolutely staggering. Arsenal last failed to score at home to Spurs in the Premier League in November 1998. Since then, they've scored 38 goals in 15 games against Tottenham. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Incredible. So maybe a little double, the Merseyside derby and North London derby, to have plenty of goals in them. The other TV games, West Brom Burnley, which probably exactly opposite to that, with bearing in mind that Burnley have managed 3-0 draws on the spin.
Yeah.
Even money West Brom 11-5 the draw, and 3-1 Burnley. 4 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday afternoon. I imagine this one will get be anywhere near the record viewings for a Sky Live game, Paul. But you know, for the West Brom Burnley fans,
West Brom have kicked into gear a little bit, haven't they? A great win last weekend, and then again in the we talk about the League Cup for getting momentum. They certainly got that at the. This week, so I think Burnley are difficult to play against. I like Sean Dyche. I think he's very, very bright. I think he's certainly a manager on the up. But listen, you speak to any Burnley fan at the start of the season, and they knew it was going to be tough. They know it's going to be tough. Scoring against Premier League defences, even Premier League defences that. At the start of the season have been leaky. You know, I thought they were superb last season in getting promotion. I think that even Sean Dyche might admit that it might have come a year earlier than many suspected at Burnley. And then you find it tough. They haven't had the money to invest. What was that stat? Angel Di Maria cost more than Burnley have ever paid in their transfer market history. So that kind of puts that into perspective. But no, Sean Dyche, I think Burnley will survive. You know, I've just got this feeling for them. I think they remind me a little bit of when Hull came up, and I know Hull started a lot better than they did, but they just dug in, and you know, they stayed where they stayed on. Stayed up. I think Burnley will stay up this season. I think it'll be a struggle next season because there won't be the money to build and build again. But I like West Brom. I think they do things the right way, certainly behind the scenes. Pepe Mel was an unmitigated disaster. He alienated a lot of the players. But Alan Irvine has come in, a highly respected coach, and I found it tough to start with. Defensively, they struggled, but they've got Joelu Lescott back fit now, and he has certainly helped shore up their defence.
The final TV game of the weekend is the Monday night game, and that is Stoke versus Newcastle. Stoke are 23-20, 11-5 the draw, and Newcastle, of course, under a cloud, but clinging on, are 5-2. One thing about this whole Pardew situation, and he's still the odds-on favourite to be the next manager to leave with William Hill at 2-5. The players are actually playing for him, Paul. You can see that from last week, and you can see that in the midweek game as well. You know, they're still going for it, these players. Sometimes you see players maybe chucking it in slightly when a manager's on his way out if he's not popular. Well, obviously, he is popular with the players.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of respect for him there amongst the players. I think they realise that he is the focal point, the lightning rod for all the, you know, all the discontent is underplaying it, I guess. You know, hatred at times amongst the Newcastle fans for the regime at St James's Park. But the bottom line is that Pardew at times has acted foolishly, stupidly. The headbutt on David Mailer last year was a case in point. But bottom line is the players do seem to respect him. They do seem to realise that he is having the toughest of jobs at the moment, and reacted well last weekend when it would have been easy to chuck it in against Hull. You know, 2-0 down at home, and it would have been easy to throw that game basically. But they responded. I can't see them getting anything at the Britannia. I think Mark Hughes is very quietly changing a lot about Stoke, and that's for the better. They finished under him in their highest Premier League place last season, 10th, I believe. They are playing a far more expansive style. Yes, there is still an element of the direct, but when you've got Peter Crouch up front, it's good to mix it up. They are playing a lot better football. And I think at home they will have too much for Newcastle.
We ask yourself and all your colleagues on the podcast for a bet of the week. One result that you think will happen, Paul. Is there anything on the Premier League fixture list that's caught your eye?
I'm going to go back to and I don't know. You'll be able to tell me what kind of odds I'll get on this. I'm going to go back to the Mersey Derby, and I'm going to say Liverpool by 3 or more goals against Everton.
Oh, really? Wow. That's you're looking at a Liverpool kind of -2 bet there. Then that's to win by 3 clear goals.
Yeah,
is 5 to 1.
I'll have some of that.
Nice, I like it. I like that. Paul, thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Okay, Lee. Good to talk to you.
And you, Paul McCarthy, the Executive Secretary of the Football Writers Association, joining us today. Remember, you can get this podcast at footballwriters.co.uk. It's also available on audioboom.com, williamhill.com/podcasts. And if you subscribe via iTunes, you get this one and the rest of William Hill's football podcast delivered straight to your PC, your phone, or your tablet. Thanks very much for listening. And if you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.